Book of Joshua and chapter 14, and reading from verse 6 until verse 14. And I'm reading from the New International Version. So Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. And may God now add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Well, folks, it's good to be here on the first Sunday of the new year, and it's good that you're here. I'm grateful for everyone that shows up week on week, and it's a little bit of a wonder to me that you do. But I'm so pleased that we can take this journey of faith together, that as a community of God's people, God has brought us together to move forward in him. One of the ways we're looking to move forward in this next year and in the early part of the new year is through leadership elections here in the church. If you're a member of the church, you'll know that we're going through a process of changing our church constitution, adjusting that a little bit, and updating it in some regards. But we're also, together with that, going through a process of re-electing our leadership here as a church. We need a group of people that are going to help us move forward, follow God's direction, and enable us to know his purposes as a group of people and carry that forward. So to that end, if you are members, you've received a nomination form. Anyone who's a member of the church can be nominated to serve as a leader in the church. And we just ask, there's some extra ones there, because we don't mind if you want to nominate a good few people, that's fine as well. So if you want to nominate somebody, just take an extra piece of paper there, fill in the name and the details, and we'll take those forward in the coming weeks. The nominations and the votes on the Constitution need to be back in by next Sunday, so if you would remember that, that'd be great. Well, it's the first Sunday of a new year, and I'm not sure how you feel about New Year's. I always find it a time of a reflection. I think some people join me in that, perhaps. I always also find it increasingly so. This next year is going to be a significant year for me. I got one of those birthdays with zero in it coming up. And increasingly, as those years pass by, I find that the new year causes me to reflect on how I'm getting older. Has anyone joined me in that? You know, there's some age that you get to. I don't know quite what it is. And you can maybe fill me in on what you think it is. But there's some age that you get to. There's one point in life where you kind of would like to be older than you are, right? Can you remember back to that point? And then some point, I don't know, is it 27? Is it 32? I don't know exactly. There's a point where that switches, definitely. And you'd like actually to stop being older than you are. You want to be younger than you are. And that's not going to happen, is it? It can't happen for us past that point. A new year, though, is filled with new opportunities, new challenges, new experiences. But is that painful reminder as well that we're getting older? And I think that it's maybe more painful because some societies, in those societies, they revere old age. They look at it and they celebrate the wisdom of the aged, and they just hold older folks in high honor. And sadly, in our own society, we tend to exalt youth at the expense of age. Do you not think that that is the case? And there's something not right about that, because there's something beautiful about those societies that say, you know, actually, like the Proverbs say, gray hair is a sign of wisdom, or no hair in my case. But we tend to, in our society, to exalt youth at the expense of the age. And so consequently, many of us do everything we can to resist that aging process. We don't want to see our strength diminish. We fear the possible loss of our faculties, our physical strength, our mental ability, not to mention the way that it might make us dependent on others. But my friends, this is a problem, that there's no holding back the years, as the turn of this new year into 2018 shows us. Like it or not, we're all getting older. And as Ross said earlier, this morning I'm starting an occasional series that we're going to keep coming back to, and different people are going to be speaking on it. It'll be about once a month. We're going to be, over the next few months, looking at the book of James. And once a month we're going to break out from that, and we're going to look into this series called The God of My Years, The God of My Life, The God of My Years. And as Ross said, we're starting with, what does it mean to know God in our older years? What does it mean to embrace God's presence in our lives? What does it mean to age well? And to do that, we're going to use this example, this wonderful person of Caleb here in Joshua chapter 14. So if you've got a Bible, it would be probably helpful to keep it open and keep reminding yourself of this story. If you've never heard it before, it's a great story. Caleb was one of the original spies that Moses sent out into the land of God's promise. They were right on the border of that land. And Moses was asked by God to choose 12 men and send them as spies into the land so that they could prepare God's people for an invasion into that territory, for their entering into the land that God had promised them. And these guys went into the land, they spied out the land, and when they got back, well, you'll see what happens. We'll go into it a little bit more in the course of what we're going to share this morning about Caleb. So we're joining the story of Joshua, and we're coming into this book of Joshua after they've entered the land of God's promise, but they still hadn't completely taken over it. I enjoy in my life, I love to get into the mountains. I love to go hill walking when I have an opportunity. Even nicer to go hill walking on a day like today, when you can see for miles and there's lovely skies and vistas to take hold of. The trickiest mountains are those mountains that have false summit after false summit after false summit. Anybody been hill walking? you know that you're coming up there and you say, I just need to get up to that point, and then I'll be up there. And when you get up to that point, you realize actually there's another point about 1,000 feet higher that lies behind it. You couldn't see it from where you were down below, but now that you're up on the first point, you can see beyond it. Just when you think you're on the final stretch, you find this higher point stretching out in front of you. And it was like that for the people of Israel that we find in the book of Joshua. They'd entered the land of God's promise. There'd been 5 years of hard fighting and of determined progress, restless movement that had been demanded by a military campaign. So surely now that they'd occupied a good section of the land, it was time to settle down to the easy life, time to enjoy the land they'd fought for and its plentiful produce. After all, even Joshua, their top general, was well past retirement age and now needed to put his feet up. You'll see that even God recognizes this in Joshua chapter 13. I don't know how you would feel about God speaking this to you. It says in Joshua chapter 13, verse 1, Joshua was old and advanced in years. And the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years. I mean, that's being told something, isn't it? God warns them, though, about the dangers of false summits. He says, you're not there yet. You're not where you think you are. There remains much land to be taken. Although you're living in the land, you're not yet living in the promise. And so two dangers now confront them that God wants to bring up before them. And I think these are two dangers that we all face with the passing years of our lives. These are two dangers that all of us are confronted by. The first is the danger of the comfortable life. It really doesn't take too much milk and honey, as many of us know from the excesses of the Christmas period, to put your condition out of order, does it? You're not quite as ready, as fit as you might need to be. And the second danger that we face, so the comfortable life is one, and the second danger that we face is the danger of borderlands. You know those places on the edge of things where no one's quite sure of really whose territory it is. These are places where power and allegiance is constantly shifting. And if the people don't continue to take hold of what God has given them, it won't be long before the borderlands, if you're not careful with what's going on in the borderlands, it's not long before those borderlands press in upon you. And the other thing that we see as we look at the book of Joshua is that geography is important. Land in this book of Joshua is a measure of God's promise. How much you occupy is how much God has given. It's a measure of faithfulness also to God. Like the Israelites, those of us who follow Jesus and look to follow him in the coming year have also been given a kingdom. And God has also invited us to come and live in it. The gift of the kingdom in and through Jesus is a measure of God's faithfulness to us. But the extent that we live in God's kingdom, the extent to which we occupy the ground that he has already given us, is a measure of our faithfulness to him. Do you see that? One of the things that you can reflect on in this coming year is, okay, God has given you his great promises in Jesus, but to what extent are you actually taking them to heart? What extent are you actually living in them? And God's blunt message to the Israelites is there's much more land to be taken. And Joshua is way, way too old to take hold of it. It's not his job anymore. It's time for him to hand over the responsibility. Faithful leaders raised up by God have to take their responsibilities. But responsibility is now given also to the people themselves. The land is divvied up. It's theirs for the taking, but it's only going to be theirs if they have the commitment to respond to the faithfulness of God. And it's into this moment, it's into this time that steps this old man. I love Caleb. He's a great example. As I think about getting older, I want to get old like Caleb got old. Into this moment steps Caleb, a man who's been on a lifelong journey with God. A man who wasn't about to be deceived by a false summit. A man who wasn't going to stop until he was on top of his mountain. His name means dog in Hebrew. He was a Kenizzite. And the Kenizzites were related to the people of Edom through Jacob's son Esau. Those of you that know your Bible will know that on the face of it, that puts him quite a long way from the promises of God. But we're told in Numbers chapter 13, where he was selected to be one of these spies sent into the land, we're told there that Caleb had also risen to be a chief among the tribe of Judah. Like us, like so many of us here today, he was an outsider brought into the kingdom of God. And now Caleb steps forward and he shows that the key to the kingdom, the key to taking ground with God, is total commitment to the king. You see, Caleb was totally committed to seeing God's purpose, to seeing God's promise in his life. 45 years before, Moses had commissioned these spies, his best military men, to a top secret mission. They were to infiltrate the enemy lines. They were to spy out the land. They were to report on strengths and weaknesses. And for the people, it was because their invasion was imminent, and this intelligence gathering was a critical piece in preparation for it. And though these 12 men executed their mission together, they saw very different things. 10 of them came back because they had, and when they reported back, they reported back the reality that had been informed by their eyes. They told the folks what they had seen. They said the land was good. It was incredibly fertile. It was rich in produce, but the cities were strongly fortified. The armies were well armed, and the people themselves were, to a man, incredibly tall and strong, giants, if you please. And their final analysis, their advice from their mission was, stay where you are, because we'll never be able to win against people like this. There were just two people who saw a very different reality. For Joshua and for Caleb, reality wasn't just informed by what they saw by their eyes. Their reality was informed by what they knew about God. They saw everything else the others saw. But their recommendation to God's people was this: let's go. Let's do it right now. Let's go because God will let us do it. And it wasn't because they were naive. It was because they believed the promise of God. Listen to how Caleb put it at the time in Numbers 13. He says this: if the Lord delights in us, he'll bring us into this land and give it to us. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Their protection is removed for them, and the Lord is with us. Don't fear them. It doesn't matter that they're tall. It doesn't matter that they're strong. It doesn't matter that their cities are fortified. God has said, this is our place. This is the place he's bringing us to. We can do this with God's help. But the people voted with the majority. And as a result, an entire generation passed away, aimlessly wandering around in a wilderness. But for Caleb, the promise became personal. God said to him, the land you walked on will be yours. And that strengthened his commitment to God's promise. The key to the kingdom, the key to God's blessing, the key to God's promise is total commitment to the king. The key to aging well is total commitment to the king. What he saw, he lived. And Caleb was totally committed to live in God's promise. For 45 years, he'd taken each day at a time. He'd walked step by step and been sustained by God's promise, his health, his strength, his determination. He lived to make the promise of God a reality. For 45 years, he held on to the promise that God had given him, trusting God's word to him. He really, really believed it. He had faith in God, and he based his whole life on that faith. The key to the kingdom, the key to life with God, the key to aging well is total commitment to the King. What he saw, he lived by. And what he lived by, he acted on. Caleb had the confidence to act on God's promises. Maybe some of you have, I don't know that any of you indulge in this as a hobby, but maybe some of you have gone rock climbing in the past. You ever done that? Some maybe. But maybe you've seen other people rock climbing. It's amazing, isn't it? That people entrust themselves. And you think of the friendship that you need and the kind of trust you have to have in a friend, in their friend's ability to tie knots or hold onto a rope, to climb up a cliff, knowing that your life is in the hands of a person that you really can't see above you who's holding onto the rope. And like that, just as that slender rope and the unseen friend gives you confidence to climb, Caleb was prepared to launch out in faith because he was confident that God was holding on. The land is allotted and the people are made responsible for completing what has begun so well. And here in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb senses his moment. This 85-year-old man realizes this is his time. And he steps up and he speaks up to Joshua and he says, Joshua, I've been living on God's promise for 45 years and now it's time to see it through. Give me my mountain. Yes, it's that mountain over there that I want. The one with the most fortified city on it. The one with the strongest warriors. The mountain I walked up and spied out so long ago. The mountain that God promised me then. That's my mountain. And all 85 years of his life, until this point, had been lived in preparation. Now it was time to act on the promise. And he did so in total dependence on God. In human terms, he was way out of his depth. But in God's terms, he was just getting his feet wet. What was it that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20? Do you remember? If anyone has faith just the size of, what was it? A mustard seed. How big's a mustard seed? It's pretty small, eh? If anyone has faith the size of a mustard seed, do you remember what he said? It will move mountains. Caleb, you're a man with faith the size of a mustard seed. Caleb, you're going to see mountains move. Now, I want to speak a little bit to you older folks and say, do you know what? You maybe held on to the promises of God. You maybe held on to faith. You maybe have been faithful in holding on to what God has given you. And for why? God has given you something to hold on to through all your years in order that you may take this time of your life, that you may step up for him at this point in your life, just like Caleb. What's God preparing for you? Caleb speaks to the older generations and to all of you who, like me, are quite definitely in the second half of our lives. I was reading a while ago a remarkable article entitled Life in the 90s by a journalist who was 93 years old himself at the time. And he wrote this. He said that as we get older, he says, we geezers carry about a bulging directory of dead husbands, wives, children, parents, lovers, brothers, sisters, dentists, doctors, office sidekicks, summer neighbors, classmates, bosses, all once entirely familiar to us and seen as part of the safe landscape of our day, it's no wonder that we're all a bit bent. The surprise for me is that the accruing weight of all these departures doesn't bury us. I think some of you will relate to that. You'll know what I mean when I say that. And at 85, that was certainly Caleb's experience. All of his contemporaries, everyone he'd known, his friends, his brothers, his family, all those people around him who were precious to him had all passed away. Joshua was his only contemporary who was still alive. The rest were gone. But his deep sense of faith was still there. He still had a purpose for his life. The Lord has kept me alive and well, so give me this mountain. So think for a moment, if you're in that older part of life, why has God given you the life experience that you've had, the gifts that you have, the skills you have, the family you have, the connections and contacts you have? What promise are you living for? What promise are you prepared to act on? Why has God brought you to where you are? Not to make a name for yourself. Not to have some sort of wonderful retirement. Not to have a dream home. Surely it's more than that. These things fade into insignificance in the light of God's kingdom and his invitation to be part of it in Jesus. You know, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That should be, in a sense, a watchword for all of us in the next year. Caleb would have understood those words. Let's understand them along with him. But Caleb not only speaks to the older generations, those like him in their older part of their lives, he speaks also to younger generations. And it's no accident, it's no surprise that Caleb ended up as this feisty, faith-filled octogenarian. It didn't happen by accident that he wanted desperately to take a pop at those giants in God's name. No, what ended up on that mountain at Hebron began as a young man. Caleb allowed his character and he allowed his life to be shaped by his faith in God. Did you notice? At least three times it said that he was wholly committed to God, that he wholly followed, or that his life was totally committed to God's purposes. No wonder he rose to be a chief among men. Like Joseph before him, God couldn't help but notice that like Joseph before him, people couldn't help but notice that God shaped his life. So all of you in the first half of your life, you want to finish well, don't you? You want to get old in a good way. Well, it begins now. Listen to what God says to the young Caleb. My servant Caleb has a different spirit. He's totally committed to me. Let that be the mark of all of our lives, but especially in your youth. Don't let worthless things overtake you. Don't let those things keep you from God's best. The key to the kingdom is total commitment to the king. Caleb got his mountain. You know, I imagine this 85-year-old fighting his way up the mountainside, determination in every step. Nothing is going to stop him. I imagine this sweaty, battle-weary old man falling to his knees on the top of his mountain as he dropped his sword to the ground. Did he laugh at the craziness of it all? Did he cry for joy? I don't know. But I do know that God gave him his mountain. And that should give hope to all of you who are in your older years. You know, God has a reason for you to still be around. He still has purposes for you to aim at. It is not life over, job done. As long as you have life and breath, God has a purpose for you. And that purpose continues into 2018. And you can say thank you to God for that purpose. And for those of us who are younger, it should fill us with inspiration to have role models like you who are going before us and Caleb who's way ahead of us to aim for, to say we don't ever need to let go of God's promises. We don't ever need to let go of the fact that God still has a purpose for us. If God had a purpose for Caleb at the age of 85, then he certainly got a purpose for me at the age of 50, or for you at whatever age you're going to be facing in the coming year. He's one of my heroes of faith. I want to be like this man. I want to stand on the mountaintop of God's promises, and I don't want to settle for anything less. I want to see what God sees. I want to live by what I know to be true about God from his word. I want to act on all the promises of God that are mine in Christ Jesus. I want to take ground with God for God. Ground in my own life, where I know there's still much ground to be taken. Ground in our city, where we know there is much ground to be taken. Ground in our church community, where there's still much ground to be taken. What couldn't we do if we had faith like Caleb and lived like Jesus? The key to the kingdom is total commitment to the King. Should we pray for a moment and just maybe to, in the quiet, take a moment to consider how God's been speaking to your life. Lord, we know that your promises are ours in Jesus. The promise of your love on the cross, the promise of your presence sealed by your resurrection, the promise of your kingdom sealed by your Spirit. Lord, thank you for the inspiration and example of your servant Caleb. We know that ground still needs to be taken in our lives, in our city, in our community. And like Caleb, we pray for faith to see beyond the strongholds, to see beyond the giants. And with him, we want to ask, give me, in 2018, give me this mountain. It may be that you will be with us and we will drive them out, just as the Lord has said. And all God's people agreed and said, Amen.